You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word.
Just when you think you're at your end, God provides a way out. Can you relate? Welcome to Through the Bible. As we open to the Old Testament book of Judges, the children of Israel had come to the lowest point in their history thus far during the time of the judges. But even then, when they got tired of doing their own thing and finally turned back to God in their desperation, God sent help. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, called this cycle the hoop of history. I'm Steve Schwetz, and while you find your place in Judges 10, Greg and I have got a couple of great letters from our fellow bus passengers here in the U.S.
Yeah, Steve, we've got some great ones. And this first one, I think I've got to let you read it because of its content. Yeah, I think you'll understand when you see it.
Okay, it says, Naomi in Ohio. My husband enjoys listening to the Bible bus at a race car speed.
Because you're always talking about speeding it up. Okay. Yeah.
He has your solar Bible bus and listens as he drives a semi-truck for work. He's currently in John. Meanwhile, my eight-month-old son and I listen on the radio at a regular pace. Since Dr. McGee's teaching is so easy to understand, I'm hoping this is one of the many ways that we can get God's word and truth deep into our son's life. It's never too early. Thanks for the continued ministry. We've enclosed some money for gas.
Fantastic, fantastic. And I just love the variety of ways that family is being blessed by through the Bible. And just to think of an eight-month-old son listening. I mean, one of our key leaders here grew up. Her dad made her listen to Through the Bible.
Yeah.
And now she's glad he did. At the time, she wasn't, you know, the most enthusiastic listener, but we're glad she did too. Okay, Stan in Michigan says this, I began listening to Dr. McGee almost 30 years ago after a dear friend led me to the Lord and your broadcast. Throughout the years, I have gotten off the Bible bus many times only to get back on board at some later stop. Though the last 30 years have been rough because of sinful choices, and I have wandered from the Lord on many occasions. God has always been so merciful and gracious to leave the 99 and come find me, leading me back to Him and your program. Dr. McGee has become such a blessing to me and has taught me so much. He has shown me just how wonderful Jesus is and has been that lifeline back into the fold so many times. I love the new app as it keeps track of my progress and keeps me grounded in His Word. I recently turned a dear friend from the small group I lead onto your program. He has become a faithful listener as well and thanked me for buying him a ticket and a seat on the Bible bus. Please keep on teaching.
Wow. Well, Stan, thanks so much for that story. Let me pray for us as we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the testimonies that we have and the encouragement that we get from them as fellow believers. I pray that you would continue to bless your word as it goes out now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today we come back to the 10th chapter of the book of Judges, and I must repeat again, we're looking at what in one sense could be a sorry lot of man. That is, God raised up judges, none of them of conspicuous ability or outstanding leaders, but God marvelously took these ordinary, in fact, less than ordinary men, and brought them into a position of leadership and guidance and direction, and God marvelously used them. This is something that is quite amazing, and it's always an encouragement to me to take the book of Judges. Now, I find that very few teach this book, and I've attempted to teach it many, many times because it always encourages me. If God can use some of these fellas, friend, I'm almost sure He could use me, and that would apply to you, I'm sure, that many of you feel that way. Now, we saw last time here at the beginning of the 10th chapter, Tola And honestly, there's not a thing mentioned he did. He was born, and he died, and he was a judge 20 and 3 years. In that 20 and 3 years, there's not a thing that you can put down that he did. This man just didn't do anything at all. Now we come to Jair, and he certainly is an illustration of the fact God chooses the foolish things of this world, and he certainly did that when he chose this man here. Now will you notice, it says in verse 3 and 4, and after him arose Jair, a Gileadite, and judged Israel 20 and 2 years. And he had 30 sons that rode on 30 ass colts, and they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair, unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. And Jair died and was buried in Camon. Now, this is the man that is before us. And in his story, I see 3 things. You have prosperity without purpose, you have affluence without influence, and you have prestige without power. Now, in that day, a donkey was a mark of prosperity, by the way. That was the thing that denoted a man's wealth. We are told in chapter 5, for instance, in the Song of Deborah, and there in verse 10, they speak of those that belong to the upper echelon, the establishment, and it says, "Speak, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way." So the little donkey in that day actually was a mark of wealth, and it was the animal that kings rode upon. Now, there's always been a question whether they had horses in that day, but in Scripture, the little donkey is the animal of peace, and the horse is the animal of war. And the horse was imported into that land. It was brought from elsewhere. But the little donkey was actually the mark of prosperity, and it was the mark of the king. You remember when the Lord Jesus Christ rode into Jerusalem on a little donkey, we misinterpret what Zechariah meant when he said he's humble. He's not humble because he's riding on a little donkey. He's humble in spite of the fact that he's riding on an animal that only kings ride upon. It was really presumption, if he were not the king, to ride on a little donkey as he did into Jerusalem and receive all of the adulation from the crowd that day and hear the hosannas that were given out. Now, Jair was obviously a man of wealth and prominence to be able to have 30 donkeys, and he had 30 sons. And now he gives to each one of these boys a donkey. He had a 30-car garage. We think people are wealthy today that have a 2-car, a 3-car garage, but what about a 30-car garage? And he didn't give them just a jalopy. He didn't give them a little Pinto or Mustang or, well, I think maybe you could say that the donkey was the Volkswagen of that day. But actually, it would compare to a Triumph or Hillman or a Simca or Volvo, and today we put a Tiger in the tank. But here, it was just these little donkeys. And this was a mark of a benevolent father. He was generous. I think it means he spoiled his sons. He got them what they wanted. They all wanted the latest thing. That was a donkey. And they lived in the lap of luxury and the golden spoons in the mountain. And to what purpose did these donkeys contribute? Of course, they come in several models. You know, the donkey has his long ears up. Well, sometimes he puts them down. So they had a convertible. You could have the ears up or have the ears down, top up or top down, and it was the latest thing. But did these donkeys bring glory to God? Did they make Jair a better judge? Did they bring blessing to the people? Did any one of these boys go as a missionary? No, they lived in Gilead. And you remember, the psalmist says, there's no balm in Gilead. But there was the braying of the donkeys at this time. Now, there's nothing particularly wrong, friends, with donkeys. That's true, but there's nothing particularly right with a man who's judge, and he had spent a whole lot of time with 30 boys with 30 donkeys. And that is something that is very important to see. Now our Lord rode into Jerusalem on a little donkey to fulfill prophecy and to present himself as king. And the hosannas were sung. And Satan was angry. And the religious rulers protested. But all 30 of these donkeys never lifted one hosanna. Only the braying of these 30 animals. And I think Satan smiled and the mob was entertained. You have here prosperity without purpose. Friends, is a dangerous thing. In the days of Noah, they were marrying and giving in marriage. Solomon sent out ships to bring back apes and peacocks. Peacocks for beauty, apes for entertainment. He was going to put on a real pageant. Way back, many years ago, a high school up in Washington, I think it was, came up with this motto for their graduating class. Pep without purpose is piffle. Well, it's not much of a motto, but it sure expresses this generation. And today we have prosperity, but without purpose. And may I ask, what's the goal of your life? Is it pointless, aimless? Have you found life pretty boring? Hamlet, you remember, Shakespeare has him say, "How stale, flat, and unprofitable seem to me the uses of this world." And many years ago in England, there were the angry young men. And I understand all those angry young men are now members of the establishment. We need today direction. We need a new dimension to life. We need a cause today. And the cause of Jesus Christ is still the biggest challenge any man can have. Old Jair was some judge, wasn't he? And then you have here prestige without power. He was the outstanding man in the community. I don't think the traffic cops ever gave his sons a ticket. And here it says in verse 5, "And Jair died and was buried in Camon." There's no monument there. It's an unknown spot. He never performed one conspicuous act. He never did a worthwhile deed. He never gained a victory. He had 30 donkey power, no horsepower at all. And no spiritual power. You and I are living in a day when the church has lost its power, its spiritual power. What a picture you have here in this man. Many years ago, here in Pasadena, in a Rose Parade, it was right before World War II, by the way, and I think it was the last parade, and the Standard Oil Company float was a beautiful thing, all covered with American Beauty roses. Oh, how lovely it was. And the theme that year of the parade was "Be Prepared." It's right before we entered World War II. Be prepared. My, what a tremendous motto that was. And right in the middle of the parade, the Standard Oil Company float ran out of gas. You know, I couldn't help but just sit there and laugh because it happened right along where I was standing. And I couldn't help but laugh. There was one float in that parade that should not have run out of gas. It was this float, by the way. They should have had plenty of gas. And I thought as I looked at that beautiful float, that's the picture of a great many Christians today. They have no power in their lives. Beauty, prestige without power. What a picture that is. That's Jair for you. Now let's move on down, and we come now to the bringing in of Jephthah as the ninth judge. And at verse 6 I read, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, and the gods of Syria, the gods of Zidon, and the gods of Moab, and the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him." You would think that after all these experiences that these people would learn that when they turned to idolatry, trouble came upon them, and they actually went into slavery again. You would think that they would be true and serve God. But you know, human nature is fallen human nature. The heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah says. Who can know it? You and I do not know. And it's easy for us to point our finger way back to these people 1,000 years and more before Christ and said, "Say, you did it wrong." How are we doing today, by the way? May I say there's a frightful apostasy today in the church. Human nature's like that. and we're in a nation that's in trouble. And yet we tried every kind of a method and every political scheme and every political party. We tried them all. Don't work. What's wrong? Well, we've gone to the wrong place. Only God today. Only turning to God. And I know that sounds square. That sounds so out of date. But it sounded out of date, friends, even 1,000 years before Christ. These people turned to all these gods. And we read here, verse 7, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. Now, God can afford to remove his instrument when that instrument fails him. A great many people think today that God has to have the church, and that God has to have a particular church, and that God has to have this nation because we're sending out missionaries. May I say to you, God doesn't have to have any of us. He's not dependent on us at all, but we are dependent on him. Now, these people went, I think at this time, probably to the lowest point that they ever went to. And we read in verse 10, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, saying, we have sinned against thee, both because we've forsaken our God and also served Balaam. Finally, they got so desperate, they turned to God. And this is the same old story that we see reenacted here. It's the hoop of history that's rolling, still rolling today. Now what happened? And the Lord said unto the children of Israel, I'm reading verse 11 of chapter 10 of Judges, did not I deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon and from the Philistine? The Zidonians also and the Amalekites and the Maonites did oppress you, and ye cried to me, and I delivered you out of their hand. Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your trouble, your tribulation. And the children of Israel said unto the Lord, we have sinned. Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day. And they put away the strange gods from among them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. How merciful and gracious God is. Now, will you notice what happened? Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. And the children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped in Mizpah. And the people and princes of Gilead said one to another, what man is he that will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Now they lacked leadership, and that's always characteristic of men or of a generation that is turned from God. A generation like ours, for instance. The thing that is characterized, actually, most of this century, and certainly the last 25 years, has been the lack of leadership in the world. There has not been that vital leadership that is needed. And that was the condition of these people at this time. Now, they're going to turn to a most unusual man, one under normal circumstances they had not turned to at all. And I want you to meet this man, and we'll see his exploits next time, and we're going to see whether he really offered his daughter upon the altar. Now we have here in chapter 11, I read verse 1. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. Now this is the man that we're looking at here, and the first thing I would call your attention to is that he's an outstanding leader. But he has this black mark against him. He's the son of a harlot. And that simply meant in that day, it was a strange woman, that is, a stranger from outside. Proverbs 2:16 speaks of beware of the strange woman. Well, that was the woman that came in from the outside. It was a harlot. And so that's what his mother was. And Josephus says that she is a Gentile, and the Jewish writings have called her an Ishmaelite. Well, he was the son of a common heathen prostitute. It was a stigma that brands a person from birth, and I don't care who it is. And this man was exiled. He was excommunicated, ostracized. Notice verse 2. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Now he's put out, and the law of Moses would also exile him. You will recall we looked at that some time ago in Deuteronomy 23:2, a bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, this is a handicap, though, that many men have overcome. Kings and emperors and generals, poets and popes have been illegitimate children. William the Conqueror. He didn't sign his name William the Conqueror. Do you know how he signed it? He signed his name William the Bastard. That's what he was. Don John of Austria also, and there were several popes, and we could give others. Now, as an exile, this is what Jephthah did. Verse 3 of chapter 11 of Judges. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob, and there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. That is, men that had no purpose in life. They had been put out of society, as it were. And therefore, he headed a rabble. May I say, he was sort of an ancient Robin Hood. And here is this man with three hurdles that he'd have to get over to become a leader. To begin with, he's the son of a harlot. He's exiled by his brethren. And his leadership is only of a despised, rejected group. Now, he's not a very likely man to be used, but you see, God chooses things like this. And he was rejected and driven out, but you know, God moves in a mysterious way, and he chooses the things that are despised in this word, and God also humbles those he intends to use. You remember, he humbled Joseph, and he humbled Moses, and he humbled David. And our Lord Jesus himself, it was said of him, he was despised and rejected of man. And he's called a stone the builders rejected, has become the head of the corner. And they said, we'll not have this man to rule over us, but God hath given him a name that's above many names. You know, there are those today, though, friends, that claim to be sons of God. They're illegitimate. I think God rejects those, by the way. You can only become a legitimate son of God by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. This man's life is wrapped up in three words. Jephthah was exiled, and we've seen that. Now, Jephthah was exalted, and then we see Jephthah excited. Now, notice he was exalted here. It came to pass, I'll read verse 4, in process of time, that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. It was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, Come and be our captain, that we might fight with the children of Ammon. Now notice Jephthah. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are ye come unto me now, when ye are in distress? And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, Therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. You see, they make him a pretty good proposition here. Now notice Jephthah. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, If ye bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? The elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, The Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. He makes it difficult for them, but they have to swallow their pride and accept it. Now we're going to see this man making a very extreme vow he should not have made, and we can see how he fulfilled that. Did he offer his daughter? We'll see that next time. May God richly bless you, my beloved.
Did Jephthah offer up his daughter? Well, meet me back here next time for the answer to that question. Until then, why don't you check out the many Bible study resources available to you at ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE if we can answer your questions about how you can be part of the fruit that God's Word yields in our generation today. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you back here next time. Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world, and we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palmbay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Reverend Gloria Ross from New Life Assembly of God, and we are located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard. That is in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Now just stay tuned to the broadcast, and you truly will be blessed.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Every eye that's open and every heart that's receptive to the Word of God. This is Pastor Ross in New Life Assembly, and I just want to be a blessing to you and this entire panel that is here. Want to preach the uncompromised Word of God. We want to be able to tell you the truth of what God has said that we have received so that you can be blessed.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to pray for our faith partners and radio listeners out there in radio land. I just want to tell you that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that He loves you. But if you are operating contrary to what His Word says, I'm praying for you right now that your heart will be touched and changed, that you would give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, once again, in the precious name of Jesus, this is Thy servant's prayer. Every
yes.
person that do not know You, at the sound of my voice, hearing what Your Word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, they will be saved.
Yes.
So, Lord, I thank You and praise You for the echoing of those words to each and every person that tune into the broadcast to believe it, receive it, and thank the Lord Jesus Christ for it.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Today, we want to look at the Word of God in Ephesians, the second chapter. We want to look at what was at one period of time, and then we're going to come into the understanding that where we are now as children of God, ones that have already been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
God loves you.
Yes, He does.
And even during the time when you were out there scuffling and doing your own thing, He still loved you. He never told you to stop what you were doing. What He did is that He laid out His plan.
Yes.
For salvation to
yes.
everyone. And it's up to you to make that choice to follow Him.
Amen.
And that's the most important thing.
Yes, it
you
is.
You make the choice. You cannot stand and blame God for your final destination.
Amen.
It is you that made the decision to follow the path either of righteousness or to be in the position to be condemned. But yet, the fact still remains, God loves you.
Yes, He does.
He loves you even unto the end of your life. Praise
Amen.
God. Let's look at what the Word of God says. Open up your Bibles out there in Radio Land. You've tuned into this broadcast. Don't turn the radio off. Leave it on and
Amen.
Listen to the truth of God's Word. Truly, it is truth.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Nothing but
I'm going to ask Minister Glory if she were to read Ephesians 2 and verse 1, as we elaborate on what God's Word says, not only to you, but to us all.
Amen.
Because we climbed out of the same hole that many folks are left in. And Jesus Christ has given us the opportunity to be a messenger for Him, to tell those that are still in that hole that there is hope, that they can come out.
Yes.
Through God's Word.
And you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins.
Mm-hmm.
Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to make known that Apostle Paul, his epistles were not written to sinners.
No, Pastor.
It's written to the church.
Yes.
He's bringing us with an understanding that in time past, we were dead. Our spirit was dead.
Mm-hmm.
We were dead in trespasses and sin. But now he has quickened us.
Yes.
And the only way that we can be quickened is by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But many folks out there in Radio Land are walking according to the prince of the power of the air. They're listening to another drummer. And I want to tell you that you don't have to do that. Praise God.
Amen.
The prince of the power of the air, he governs the social media. He governs television. He governs all those things. This is why we as children of God must be careful in terms of what we are watching and what we're listening to.
Amen.
Because he is in control of the power of the air. Now, there are good things that come through social media, but the most part, there's things there that are ungodly.
Yes.
And we should not
be watching,
giving any attention to it. Minister Gloria, you wanted me to?
It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even Glory. As others.
Mm-hmm. My God, children of wrath, by yes. nature, the children of wrath. This is why we cannot boast about anything. We must give the Lord Jesus Christ all the praise and honor because what he has said to us in his word. And in time past, that's exactly what was going on in our lives.
Yes.
We didn't know God. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but thank God for his mercy and his grace and his love.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Thank you.
That he stretched forth that hand of righteousness and touched us. This is why we cannot brag about what we have or what we're doing, because it's only because of the grace of God.
Amen.
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 Only because of the grace of God. Evangelist, you want to pick up on that third verse there? Praise God.
It says, Pastor, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. That what was coming out of our mouth wasn't godly, Pastor.
Yes.
It was earthly.
Yes.
And God says in times past, in the lust of our flesh, Pastor. There's a lot of saints in the church today that still having problem with the flesh, Pastor, because they haven't yielded to the Spirit of the living God.
Yes. So their behavior has not changed.
No, Pastor.
But the most important thing is that the lust of the flesh. I want to tell you today that God has made preparation for us all in terms of how we can order our behavior and how we can walk as children of the Most High
Amen.
God.
Amen.
He's given us everything. But keep in mind, when we were dead in trespasses and sin, he has quickened us.
Yes.
In other words, he's made us alive.
Yes.
And this is why we cannot boast because of others that have been left out there, my God, not following the things of God, because the prince of the power of the air were governing their activities,
yes,
and they were
Pastor.
Walking according to the lust of the flesh. But I tell you today, as a child of God, that God loves them.
Yes,
he loves us. He had mercy on us.
Yes.
And he has mercy on them.
Yes,
so we just
does.
Have to do exactly what the word of God says. Order your behavior.
Amen.
Order your behavior according to the things of God.
Amen.
Praise God.
That's wonderful.
Because what got my attention is that when we were dead in trespasses and sin, the scripture, Apostle Paul is saying, but he has quickened us.
Yes.
See, when you were dead in trespasses and sin, he has quickened us. In other words, he made us alive now. Praise
yes.
God.
Yes,
and you didn't have to be in some church building for him to make you alive. What it is that God loves us. Praise God. He loves us so much. So the thing of it is that the people that are walking contrary to the ways and the things of God, and by nature,
mm-hmm.
by nature,
yes.
Let me tell you something. We should be walking in the divine nature, not the old Adamic nature.
Right. Yes.
What does it say? By nature, we were children of wrath,
mm-hmm.
of the wrath of God.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes, Pastor. You don't want to be under the wrath of God, Pastor.
But that's what was by nature.
Yeah, but yes.
When you were born unregenerate by nature, you were subject to the wrath of God. But the word tells us that, but he has quickened us now.
Yes.
He made us alive. Praise God. I thank God that I'm alive.
Me too.
Hallelujah.
In Christ, Pastor.
To the things of the eternal God. Praise Amen. God. Ms. Gloria, you want to read that?
It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, praises
Jesus
for his great love when with he loved us.
Yes.
Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ.
This is something that we need to understand here. Even when we were dead in sin, he has quickened us with who?
Christ.
With the anointed one.
With the anointed one.
Glory to God. He's quickened us with the anointed one. And what has taken place there?
By Christ, you are saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Well, tell me something. Why do we badger people so much and try to make them correspond and accept what the Lord Jesus Christ has done? Everyone has a choice.
Yes.
Everyone has a choice. And if I'm reading this text correctly, he has quickened us that were dead in trespasses and sins.
Mm-hmm.
He has quickened us. We didn't quick ourselves. And the whole idea is said, and he's made us to sit together with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Good God Almighty, what mercy through his what? Grace and mercy.
Praise
the Lord. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. It's so much to ingest from these few verses of scripture here, but I want to tell you, we're going to just keep moving through this and going to just satisfy the Spirit of the living God as he ushers in revelation to us by the Spirit of the living God, that we can just use the proper exegesis to these scriptures. Praise God. Because when we find out where we were before and now, when we come into who we are now, we thank the Lord and give him all the praise.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And give him all the praise. Vantage, you want to read that next verse of scripture?
Verse 6.
Verse 7, praise God.
Okay, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
In the ages to come, praise God. What is he going to show us?
He's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace, Pastor.
My Lord, that's unmerited favor. That's
unmerited.
The goodness of God that's given to undeserving
people. You
didn't earn it? You cannot earn it. Praise God. And this is why we have to understand what the word is saying to us as children of God. I know that we are moving fast over this, where the other preceding verses of scripture there requires more elaboration than what we are actually talking about. But for the sake of time, we're trying to skirt to the issue in terms of where we are now.
Amen.
Praise God. So Apostle Paul is giving this information to us through divine revelation that the Lord has blessed him with, and he's sharing it with all of us that believe and trust in the word of God.
Amen.
Praise God. In that 8th verse there, Minister Gloria,
it says, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Mm-hmm. This is what we have to understand, because the thing of it is that this thing has nothing to do with works or anything that we're doing on our own accord.
Amen.
Because if I understood what the preceding verse that we started out with, that when you were dead in trespasses and sins, has he quickened you? He made you alive. He made you where you are able, glory to God, to respond to this gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we come on down there, glory to God, into the 8th verse there. It says, for by grace. Is that what it says?
That's what it
yes,
says.
Yes, sir.
Unmerited
yes,
favor.
Pastor.
For by grace are you saved. This is what God is doing. Mm-hmm. Praise God. It's not what you are doing. It's what God is doing.
Amen.
All he asks you to do and me to do and everyone else to do is to have faith in what he has done.
Amen.
And what he has done is that when I look back through the corridors of history, I find myself looking at when I was dead in trespasses and sin, has he quickened me?
Yes.
Glory to God. And he's made you alive as well. And this is why Paul lays it out to us. Apostle Paul lays it out to us in the 8th verse. For by grace, unmerited favor.
Yes.
Of God toward mankind. The goodness of God.
Yes.
Now, grace was looking down. Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, for by grace are you saved. Grace was looking down at us, which is the unmerited favor of God toward mankind. And faith was looking up.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah. And faith was looking up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So for by grace are you saved through faith. Praise God.
Amen.
And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
Amen.
Can we understand that? And that not of yourselves, evangelist.
They
you had nothing to do with this thing.
No, Pastor.
And that not of yourselves, it is a gift
of God.
Why do we badger people? Why do we try to make people receive the gift? You can't do it.
No, that's right, Pastor.
You can't
force somebody to receive the gift.
The gift. If they want to receive the gift, they'll receive it.
Yes.
And this is why no one, as Minister Glory and I were talking, that there's no way that you can stand before God in the appointed time there and blame anyone but yourself.
Amen.
Because the gift came, the
freely.
Gift was offered freely unto all of us.
Yes.
You turned the gift down because you felt as though that you didn't need the gift. Well, I tell
you. Oh, yes, you do.
I need the gift.
Me too, Pastor.
Praise God. I need the gift.
Mm-hmm.
And that gift is directly from God.
Directly from God.
Amen. What does the scripture say? Read that again, Minister Glory.
It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God.
Mm-hmm. Now, look at what was done. Now, he made us in the second verse there of the chapter. It says that he has made us to sit with Christ in heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. This is what he's done. Lord, I thank you.
Amen.
And I praise you.
Amen.
Praise God. I thank you that I had nothing to do with this. It says that you made me. You quickened me.
Yes.
When I was dead in trespasses and sin, you quickened me. You made me alive. And also you made me to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Glory to God.
Amen.
I tell you, this is something that is so, my God, powerful here. And then he brought it on down, Apostle Paul. Do you believe that Apostle Paul received this revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yes, he did, because he didn't get, the flesh can't profit nothing, Pastor. It's the Spirit that giveth eternal life.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. And for by grace you're saved through faith. Through faith. So grace is looking down on us. Glory to God. That's what it was, because it was God's unmerited favor. He didn't have to do this. But he did. So it was God's unmerited favor toward mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And all he asks us to do is to look up, have faith in what he's done.
And guess what? The faith come from the faith come from God, Pastor. Trust, confidence, assurance in the word of the living God, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Why do we go around boasting and bragging about where we are saved and others aren't saved? That's a sad situation, because when we can understand what Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, my God, and he's telling us through what his word says there, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Through faith.
Through faith. Praise God.
Amen.
What I've done for you, God is saying, I've given you a gift. It is my unmerited favor toward you. You don't deserve it, but I've given it to you. Now I expect you to receive.
Amen.
To look up and receive. For by grace are you saved through faith. And what does it say? That it's
not of works.
Not of works.
Lest any man should boast.
Mm. That's why we can't boast. We can't boast. It's not of works, evangelist.
No, Pastor.
No matter how many times you try to do good deeds and everything, it has nothing to do with that.
No.
Good deeds are good, but you can't earn your way. You can't boast about what you have.
No, Pastor.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. It is. It's beautiful, Pastor, how God showed this to Paul. And Paul, he expounded it so well to the Ephesians. Pastor, I know when Paul was talking, they was giving him all ears. Because he wasn't talking no foolishness now. He was talking straight from the heart of God.
Amen. And he tells us that it's not by works.
Not by works. So guess what? You can bring all your works on Judgment Day, Pastor. They're going to get burnt up.
Well, I tell you, what I look at is that there may be some people that have more financial freedom than others that can do more works than others.
Yes.
And we begin to brag about it. But the word tells us that it's not by works.
Yeah, not by works.
Not by works. Is what it says there?
Yes, what it says.
And you don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing anyway if you was in that position, Pastor.
Praise God. We may sound a little stern while we are speaking on this, but I really get excited because I tell you, we can't earn this thing that we have. And it's amazing how so many people are trying to earn their way in. You can't earn your way into the kingdom.
No, you can't.
You know? Faith is the commodity that represents the kingdom principle.
Yes, yes.
Praise God. So, Minister Glory, it says it's not by works.
Lest any man should boast.
That any man should boast.
Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody going to take God's glory, Pastor.
Yeah.
For we are his workmanship,
mm-hmm,
created in Christ Jesus unto good works.
Yes.
Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them.
Amen.
I like that terminology there. Mm-hmm. It's not by works. Now, and Paul didn't just tell the Ephesians that. Paul went as far as going into Titus, the second chapter,
mm-hmm,
Titus in the third chapter, and verse 5, mm-hmm, praise God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Because if it's not by works.
Nope, not by works of righteousness, which we have done.
My God. So let's look at that. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done.
But according to his mercy, he saved us.
Well, according to his mercy, he saved us. See, this is the most important thing here, that we cannot earn this salvation. And I wonder why so many people just reject the gift that's been offered by God. God done something that he didn't have to do. You know, I tell you one thing. If it was me in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, I'm going to go back under the old covenant for a moment. If it was me as God under the old covenant, and when man sinned, I would have wrapped this thing up and said, that's it. They're not going to listen. I would have wrapped it up. But see, I'm not God.
No,
that's the whole thing. And God's mercy. God's mercy.
And that's the truth, Pastor.
Because God knew that Adam and Eve would do what they did.
Yes,
they never caught him,
Pastor,
by sin.
He made the end before he made the beginning, Pastor.
That's right. So that is exactly right. And to validate that verse of scripture there in Isaiah 46 and verse 10, it tells us that declaring the end from the beginning. Now that's powerful.
That our God is awesome, Pastor. You who can counsel me? There's nobody on this earth they can confront God and challenge him.
God, what he did is that he looked at the finished work before the beginning of it. Now, that's God.
The Pastor, he already saw it. He's the only man I know, well, only God I know, Pastor, that can write from the end and get you in the beginning.
Looking at something, he declaring the end from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
It is.
And that's, never went back over himself, Pastor. He said, oh, I got to race this. I got to do this over. No, Pastor.
Let's look at, we want to try to get back to, go to, stay in Titus 2, Titus 3 there for a moment there.
Okay.
In verse 3, verse 5 there. It says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done,
mm-hmm,
but how did he do it?
According to his mercy, he saved us.
According to his mercy, he saved us. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
We can't brag about this. I thank God for it. And what is it? Through what?
By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Renewing of the Holy Spirit. So this is why when he quickened us and made us alive, the thing of it is so important that we understand this whole scenario, that it's not about you and what you've done. It's God's mercy that he
Amen.
Saved us. So if he saved us through his mercy, we cannot earn anything from God. A lot of folks trying to earn the love of God, you know, instead of just accepting or receiving God's love. Yes. They're trying to do all of these things. But God is merciful and compassionate, and he loves us. But what I need further revelation on is that, now Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and what it is that he's not writing to sinners.
He's writing to church folks.
To the church folks. And what happened is that while we were dead, he made us alive.
He quickened us, yes, Pastor.
That word quicken is to make alive.
Yes, to make alive, Pastor.
That's what he's done. He made us alive, and he made us to sit with Christ in heavenly places.
Ain't that something? Made us to sit in heavenly places with Christ.
Well, we want to, we know that the epistle was written to the body of Christ. But there may be somebody out there that's listening that's not part of the body.
Amen.
So our understanding, and we don't want to turn this broadcast loose until we offer an extension of salvation to everyone that is listening, if you're not saved. And Minister Glory is going to quickly give us an understanding in terms of how the Lord loves us and he wants to receive us.
Romans 10:9. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
By faith.
Praise
in
God.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise God. We thank the Lord for you tuning in to broadcast, and we pray that you have received something from this broadcast, and only give the Lord Jesus Christ the honor and the glory.
Amen.
Stay tuned next week at the same time to this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.